1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Well, I guess our bird friend is either dead or escaped. The bottle. I'd stuck a bottle in the door along with a note that's blowing away right now. I'm gonna catch it. Here it is. I went back to the, first, of course, hello, it's 1901 UTC here on a beautiful day in Austin, Texas. Partly cloudy, mostly clear, probably 60% sunshine. I banged my hand on the door coming out. I thought the door was going to open wider than it did. It only opened up, I don't know, 90 degrees, I guess. The regular amount, but I just didn't expect it, and I smashed my hand into the door. Ow. Anyway, the important part. Oh, high is going to be 31 degrees C. It's 30 C right now. So, not the end of the world, but it is very bright. So I'm making my way to the door full of wasps to hopefully get some shade so I can jump in on comm. Anyway, the important part. The bottle I'd used to jam the door open was still there, but the bird was not. So either that bird escaped or it is passed on and is not on that floor anymore. So either way, I think that saga's over. Oh, I can see a big American flag way out in the distance. It must be a car dealership or something. Those are usually the only places that have giant flags. Anywho, we're almost to the shade and then I can bring up the news. I synced my browser before I got up here. All right. Okay, well, hopefully I don't smell too much like a flower. All right, so let's jump on over. Let's launch comm. All you need to do is SSH over at tty.sdf.org. That's the most reliable way to get on in. And then once you're there, if you don't have, you can use, there's a man page for comm. You can, and it explains the comrc file. But set up your comm file, and then once you do that, then whenever you get SSH over, all you gotta do is run comm. Just type COM, press enter, and it will drop you in to your preferred room and everything. That's what I'm doing now. I'm updating Oh My Z Shell right now. Bam. Here we go. All right, now we're jumping in. Yes, here we go. Oh, man. Ayrton Freeman's here in comp, Stug. Stug bought a Steam Deck a month or so ago. That's exciting. Tobes in comp. And user FXNet. And a LCD. So, hello. Welcome, one and all. It's time for some news, and I got some new shoes, so hey, it all rhymes, it all works together. It's time for that death and destruction, baby. First, let's go to Kenya. Kenyan police involved in the killing of 12 people, according to Amnesty International. Kenyan police were involved in the killing of 12 people, including two children, during violent opposition demonstrations in March. Two rights groups have announced on Wednesday, denouncing a lack of accountability. Extrajudicial killings are rife in Kenya, and justice is rare, with few examples of police being held to account. Hey, it's like the United States. Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International said they documented 12 deaths during 3 days of anti-government protests called by veteran opposition leader Raila Odinga over a cost of living crisis in last year's disputed election. Sorry about that. My ear itched. I scratched it, not realizing that. Anyway, they said in a joint statement they'd corroborated 12 killings and interviews with family members and witnesses. While some of the victims were involved in the protest, most of the 12 were bystanders, passerbys, or people in their home. Two children, including a four-month-old baby, also died from health complications after police fired tear gas into residential homes. According to government figures, 3 people died during the March on Rust, including a policeman. It's so funny because this story, it matches how the U.S. handled this so closely. You remember the federal U.S. government put out numbers about the number of police killings at one point. I think it was police killings or it was gun violence, one or the other. But it was like hundredfold below what reality was. And it was very silly because it was like, who's going to believe this? But don't worry, we'll keep on traveling around the world. Hey, Handy C! Clap, 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 clap. Hey, Bob Junkman. Yep, it's doom listening now. yep. So, we're using Al Jazeera, but guess what? They got a map. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm going to try and share it with you. So, let's see if I can paste this. Hold. Paste. Oh, yeah, there it is. Uh-oh, I hit the wrong button. That's probably... I'm going to control U. Nope. All right. I'm going to hit capital L. Sorry, I'm narrating this so you guys aren't just listening to nothing, but there we go. And then the title is map. All right. If you go to sdf.org/L/V5, that's Victor 5, sdf.org/L/V5. That's sdf.org/Lima/Victor5. If you go there, you'll see a nice map, and it's related to this story. 5 Palestinian fighters killed in Lebanon, blast blamed on Israel. The Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, General Command, or PFLPGC, has blamed Israel for the killing of 5 of its members in a blast in eastern Lebanon near the Syrian border. Anwar Raja, a PFLPGC official, said an Israeli strike on Wednesday hit positions in the Lebanese town of Qusayya. He said 10 people were wounded, of which 2 were in critical condition. However, unnamed Israeli sources told news agencies that Israel was not involved in the attack. No official comment came from Israel, nor the Lebanese army, or the Iran-backed Hezbollah group. There are conflicting reports from Lebanese and Palestinian sources that the blast was the result of an old rocket going off in an arms depot, or maybe a mine exploding. Another PFLP-GC official, Lebanon-based Abu Wael Assam, said his group will retaliate at a suitable time. He added the strike would not deter his group from escalating the fight against the Israeli army. So, it's been rare for Israel to carry out airstrikes on Lebanon in recent years. However, Israel launched raids in southern Lebanon in April, a day after dozens of rockets were fired at Israel, wounding 2 Syrian workers and causing some property damage. The Israeli military said at the time it targeted installation of Hamas in southern Lebanon. And we got a little brake squeal from, it's an Uber coming to pick somebody up down the block there. Anywho, you probably couldn't hear him squealing, so it's fine. All right, so that map was showing us where Lebanon is in relation to showing us where Beirut and Qusayya are, so you can kind of get an idea of what's going on there. Hey, Publius is going to restart his router. Uh-oh. Let's see. Publius has been having serious trouble listening to a non-radio the past week. I'm thinking the router might be the problem. Yeah, I restart my router. When I have that problem, I'll restart my router, or if you're on Wi-Fi, oftentimes I find that if my network starts acting up, it's because someone has chained. I go and look at the Wi-Fi, how busy the Wi-Fi is, and almost always it's because some people decided to move their Wi-Fi onto my channel. So, anyway, we'll keep on rolling. Good luck. Hopefully, Publius gets back online and can hear a non-radio, because that's what you're listening to right now, and it's news to me time. Coming up in 20 minutes is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. So, stick around. Alright, so here's a tragedy that, it's a tragedy, as we discuss all the time. It's a tragedy because only one person's dead. But, here's a word of warning. The article contains graphic details about the aftermath of a violent crime. So, if you're sensitive to that, this is your warning. So this happened in New Delhi, India. A 16-year-old girl was brutally stabbed and bludgeoned to death in a busy public alleyway in India's capital on Sunday, sparking renewed outrage over the safety of women in the country and violence perpetrated by men. Video of the incident, which lasted for more than a minute and was captured on security camera, shows multiple people walking close by as the attacker repeatedly strikes the victim. Only one man is shown attempting to intervene, trying to pull the attacker off the victim before quickly retreating. The body of the victim, who has not been identified, was found Sunday evening in the Shahabadari area of the northern Delhi neighborhood of Rohini, where the incident took place. On Monday afternoon, Indian police said they had arrested a male suspect named Sahil in connection with the murder. Sahil is a mechanic and was detained in Bulandshahr in the neighboring Uttar Pradesh state, which is way up there in the north there. Ravi Kumar Singh, Deputy Police Commissioner for Outer Delhi, told reporters on Monday. Delhi's Special Commissioner of Police, Dipendra Pathak, told Indian News Channel Times Now that the initial investigation pointed to a so-called crime of passion. "I saw my daughter was lying on the ground with her face to the ground," the girl's father told CNN. "Her organs had come out and her head had been smashed in. She lay there lifeless. There was no point in taking her to the hospital. It angers me to know that no one helped my daughter," he added. "If they had helped her, she would have been alive today. I also heard that the bystanders were busy filming videos of the incident. Even if they had screamed, it would have helped my daughter." Raj says that his daughter's helped the family's finances by tutoring. "I don't feel alive today," he said through tears. "I miss her so much. She was such a good child. What do I do?" This is the latest in a long line of killings and rapes that have triggered anger about whether enough is being done both to protect women in India and punish attackers. A minor girl is brutally murdered openly in Delhi. Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal wrote on Twitter, "This is very sad and unfortunate. The crimes have become fearless, and there's no fear of the police. The safety of the people of Delhi is of paramount importance," he added. So, this is just really sad. And, so anyway, that's kind of crazy, right? Bob Junkman. Oh yeah, yesterday I've tooted pictures of the birds that were trapped in the tower, but I didn't use the space bar properly, and so it read news tome instead of news to me, which is, I mean, close, not quite what we were going for, but hey, we'll keep on a rolling, we'll keep trying. In North Korea, a satellite wakes up and worries Seoul. Oh, it's a video. Never mind. We'll just say that there's been a bit of activity in North Korea causing some issues. Now in China, we'll jump to Asian stories since we can't play the video. Incident between planes over the South China Sea is the latest in a series of confrontations between China and the U.S. military. China has blamed a U.S. provocation for an incident in which a Chinese plane crossed in front of an American surveillance aircraft. The United States' long-term and frequent sending of ships and planes to conduct close surveillance in China seriously harms China's national sovereignty and security, Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Mao Ning said on Wednesday. "This kind of provocative, dangerous activity is the cause of the security issues on the seas. China will continue to take all necessary steps to resolutely protect its own sovereignty." The U.S. military said that a Chinese fighter pilot performed an unnecessarily aggressive maneuver near an American surveillance aircraft operating over the South China Sea last week. Video footage released by the U.S. military shows a Chinese fighter jet crossing in front of the aircraft, which can be seen shaking from the resulting turbulence. The Chinese plane flew directly in front of and within 400 feet of the nose of the RC-135, forcing the U.S. aircraft to fly through its wake turbulence on Friday. So, yeah. Hey, it's just more drama boiling up over there in the Pacific region. We'll have to see how that plays out. Let's check in calm and see what's going on. Fear of the police solves everything. Tobe, you're correct. It is not, how society should function, most definitely. I agree there. Good mounting. Publius is back. China will continue to take all steps to extend its claim of sovereignty every corner of the world. We're having a good time in calm today. This box truck is not having a good time making a U-turn. He's going to beep, beep, beep. Oh, wow. This box truck has a hole ripped in the corner, its front corner. It's doing a U-turn now, but if you can picture a box truck, the top passenger side of the corner has a hole in it about, I don't know, about the size of a basketball. Very large. But, yep, it was a three-point turn. Hey, it is the 697th live show. All right. We're making moves. All right. So let's talk about Germany real quick. This is an interesting one. This is something to put in your brain and modulate on for a little bit, I think. It's something I'm going to think about later today. But anyway, here's the story. A court in eastern Germany has sentenced a 28-year-old woman to 5 years and 3 months in prison for taking part in a series of attacks on neo-Nazis and other right-wing sympathizers over a period of 2 years. German news agency DPA, that's Delta Papa Alpha, reported on Wednesday that the Dresden Regional Court convicted the defendant, only identified as Lena E., and three other suspects of membership in a criminal organization and serious bodily harm. Opposing right-wing extremists is a respectable motive, said Judge Hans Schluter-Statz, while issuing his verdict. But such attacks are still serious criminal acts, he said, underlining that the state must retain a monopoly on the use of force. And that's where the rub is, and I've been trying to get my friends' reactions out of this, is does the state have a monopoly on force? Is that what we've traded to the state for our security and safety? Prosecutors accused the student of militant extreme left ideology and conceiving the idea of attacks on far-right individuals in Leipzig and nearby towns. Three men are alleged to have joined forces with her by the end of 2019. The men were sentenced to 27 months and 39 months in prison. Lena E. has been in custody since her arrest on November 5, 2020. That was almost 3 years ago. The other suspects have remained free. Among the attacks she was accused of helping orchestrate was a 2020 incident in which about 15 or 20 attackers beat a group of six people returning from a ceremony marking the 75th anniversary of the firebombing of Dresden. The event regularly attracts neo-Nazis and other far-right sympathizers. Germany's Interior Minister Nancy Faeser said in a statement that in a democratic constitutional state there must be no room for vigilante justice. Far-left groups have announced plans to protest the verdict, prompting police to establish a large presence in Leipzig. So, what do you guys think? I think they hit a low clearance sign. I agree, Publius. Killing Nazis is a crime. Apparently, Deutsche Presseagentur. Vigilantism is a crime, even though cops will literally not protect a damn person. That's coming from UserFXNet. Toba's considering an MPS-connected mechanical compass. There is no global magnetic field. From Pooley. It's kind of that thing. Does the state have a monopoly on violence? And that's a great root of the problem. Because vigilante justice, it's kind of like, well, what is the justice you're meting out? It's like, we're going to cause violence or otherwise harm you. So anyway, MPS is GPS for the moon. Oh, hey, guess who that is? That's right. Our pal, the Blue Harley, just rode by. That's how you know it is 1919 UTC here on a beautiful Wednesday, the 31st, last day of May, which means that I have to finish filling out my reports, my assessment reports, and get them submitted. I got to work on that after this. I'll listen to the Dubious Goals Committee while I do, though. Very interesting, something to think about. Meanwhile, in Moscow, this has come to us from the AP, so consider it possibly U.S. propaganda, grain of salt. A drone attack that targeted Moscow on Tuesday exposed glaring breaches in its air defenses and underlined the capital's vulnerability as more Russian soil comes under fire amid expectations of a Ukrainian counteroffensive. The attack lightly damaged three apartment buildings, angered Russia's hawks, who scathingly criticized President Vladimir Putin and the military brass for failing to protect the heart of Kremlin power more than 500 kilometers from the front line. And when we're talking about hawks, we're not talking about the hawks in the sky. These are political hawks. Five of the eight drones that took part in the raid were shot down, the defense ministry said, while three others were jammed and forced to veer off course.
Some Russian media and bloggers alleged a larger number of drones were involved, but those claims can't be verified. The attack followed a May 3rd drone strike on the Kremlin that lightly damaged the roof of the palace that includes one of Putin's official residences. Other drones have crashed near Moscow in what Russian authorities described as a botched Ukrainian attempts to attack the city. So Ukrainian authorities rejoiced over Tuesday's drone attack, but customarily avoided a claim of responsibility, a response similar to what they said after the previous attacks on Russian soil. So what does that mean? It's a UPS truck that's been repainted to be a Prime truck. Very nice. Hey, welcome back, Artin Freeman. Welcome. We're talking about Mars. Bob Jonkman points out environment variable spouse has the movie Moon in the to-be-watched list. Will the rocket's bus have a heater? Will the rocket bus have a heater? I don't know. Yeah. Monopoly of force. It's a question. Good point. Yeah, I understand there's supposed to be a due process, but ops don't even follow that due process, gaming the DA among police in reference to previous monopoly force questions. Yeah. So yeah, that was one of the points that I'm trying to deal with is I think that in an ideal society or an ideal role, the use of force is controlled by the state and is used equally and fairly. But we know that police corruption is very common. And very loud as a sports car. We know that the police are corrupt and often do dole out violence. Publius watched Moon with a local National Space Society chapter. Hey, that's cool. I need to get a copy of Moon. All right. What else is going on? Well, let's talk about some more technology and other fun stuff. Oh, and just as a heads up, sad things. In Singapore, someone poisoned a whole bunch of pigeons. So like a dozen pigeons were dead on somebody's porch. The Sackler family in the United States is a billionaire family that they were the people behind the opioid crisis in the United States. They're illegal drug dealers. They're illegal cocaine dealers, I guess you could call them. But they're not filing for bankruptcy, but they're protected from suits for damages. Their company can pay for all the damages, though. So anyway, it's kind of a perversion of justice for that. Anyway, New Zealand. What's happening in New Zealand? Well, Air New Zealand is weighing passengers before they board international flights as part of a survey to determine average passenger weight. The weight will be anonymously recorded in a database, but not visible to airline staff or other passengers. Air New Zealand said knowing average passenger weight would improve fuel efficiency in the future. Participation. Oh, an ambulance is leaving. And that's a... There's a gym on campus, and the ambulance seems to come by most frequently. A couple times a week. But anyway, they're leaving now. All right. The weight will be anonymously recorded in a database, but not visible. Air New Zealand said knowing average passenger weight will help improve fuel efficiency in the future. Participation in the survey is voluntary. The airline previously weighed domestic passengers in 2021. Now that international travel is back up and running, it's time for international flyers to weigh in the airline. Wow, this SUV was hauling ass down the road and then slammed on its brakes. You may have heard the brakes squeal as a truck was pulling out from the road. Truck with a trailer, so they would have run into the trailer. But yeah, that's what happens. It's amazing how people disregard speed limits, but then are surprised when they almost run into people. I don't know. There's a lot of silliness, a lot of entitlement on the roads these days. Anyway, they let us know, we know stepping on the scales can be daunting. We want to assure customers there's no visible display anywhere. By weighing in, you'll be helping us fly safely and efficiently every time. Passengers are weighed at gates of certain flights departing from Auckland International between May 29th and July 2nd.
The airline said that everything goes on its aircraft, from cargo and onboard meals to luggage, is weighed. So they need that average weight to kind of guess how much stuff's going to weigh. Poisoning pigeons. It's a terrible, terrible crime. User FX knows what's up. I bet the SUV was the one who honked the horn. Yes, it is. The SUV did honk their horn. Computer-driven cars are terrible, but so are human-driven cars. You know, what's funny is I'm in Austin, Texas, and so Google has a fleet of self-driving cars that they're testing here. And it is very interesting because I ride a motorcycle most of the time, and those self-driving cars do not operate around me very well. They, instead of seeing me like a car or another vehicle, they treat me like an obstacle on the road. So if I stop, if I don't stop on the right-hand side of the road, it will try and go around me. Even though, like, I'm in the lane, it will still just use the remainder of the lane and get up beside me. So unless I stop, unless I put the bike in neutral and, like, turn around and wave at it or something, then it goes away. So anyway, self-driving cars, they got a ways to go. They also don't do well with pedestrians. Anyway, we're going to keep on a rolling because we only got about 4 minutes to go, and we got a bunch of news to talk about. Specifically, we need to tell you about two pieces of space news. First, the Saudi astronauts have safely returned to Earth. A SpaceX capsule carrying two Saudi astronauts has splashed down off the coast of Florida, completing the second private mission to the International Space Station. So, woohoo there! It's all well and good to get up to space and get to the space station safely. It's also important to get back down. Now, if you have a gigabyte motherboard, you may want to check out the firmware because there's a backdoor. Let's get this. All right. Researchers at firmware-focused cybersecurity company Eclipsium revealed today that they've discovered a hidden mechanism in the firmware of motherboards sold by Gigabyte, whose components are commonly used in gaming PCs and other high-performance computers. Uh-oh, I got a cough. Sorry about that. I'm a little dehydrated. Anyway, Eclipsium found code within the motherboard's firmware that invisibly initiates an updater program that runs on the computer and downloads and executes another piece of software. While Eclipsium says the hidden code is meant to be an innocuous tool to keep the motherboard's firmware updated, researchers found it's implemented insecurely, potentially allowing the mechanism to be hijacked and used to install malware instead of Gigabyte's intended program. And because the updater program is triggered from the firmware outside its operating system, it's tough for users to remove or even discover. If you have one of these machines, you have to worry about the fact that it's basically grabbing something from the internet and running it without you being involved, and hasn't done any of this securely. There are 271 models of Gigabyte motherboards that are affected, so you can check by going to star in Windows and then system information. I don't know what that, I haven't used Windows in decades. I don't know what that means. Eclipsium says it found Gigabyte's hidden firmware mechanism while scouring customers' computer for firmware-based malicious code. I would just Google Gigabyte firmware, and you could probably find it. All right, so let's talk about nuclear stuff real quick. Oh, this is important. NASA's UFO team says over 800 incidents have been investigated. NASA is holding its first public meetings on its study of UFOs before a report on its findings is released. The panel set up last year has been looking at data on Unidentified Anomalous Phenomenon, UAP. It's defined by NASA's observation of events in the sky that cannot be identified as aircraft or known natural phenomena from a scientific perspective. NASA's study is separate from the Pentagon's investigation into this same phenomenon, which has been studied by U.S. intelligence officials. The report is set to be released in July. Oh, shucks, we're out of time. I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for being here and thanks for hanging out.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.